5-1 on money line. I'm thinking 5-1 is probably, you know, might be okay.
Nice. All right. I wasn't sure how to handle her. I used her, I think, as a C in the. Actually, I got to rework that too because I was leaning on Chubb Wagon. All right.
I was highly intrigued in jumping ahead to the Ogden Fest. I was very intrigued by Bonnie South. I heard you mention her earlier.
Yeah.
You've been talking about her. I just think that's the race, you know, with the Swiss Skydiver and Valiant both coming out, you know, it's going to be. I was wanting to go against Latruska. I'm not sure now exactly, you know, how strong a conviction I have about that. I do like both Brad Cox fillies in there, though. I definitely will be using She Dares the Devil, and I'll still use some Bonnie South. And, you know, but that's just going to be a race I'm really watching. I'll have that race in my pick five. It's a multi-race bet. But, you know, really a bummer to see two of those fillies come out, Steve.
What did you skipped over a little bit? You got a Jaipur idea?
Yes. The well, you know, to me, you know, I really think that Bound for Nowhere, you know, if he runs his race, you know, he's going to be ultra tough in there. But I thought a couple of those outside horses were a little bit interesting. I thought that Stubbins last year when he ran in the Jaipur, that was an okay fourth that day. You know, was a looked like he was had a huge chance to win, I thought, and came up a little bit short. But I think he could run a big off the shelf there for Doug O'Neill. And even Sambaye, I mean, I liked his runner-up effort in that turf sprint last time. Those are two horses I'm going to look at using with Bound for Nowhere. Really interesting, though, where you get a turf sprint that has a big feel like this, and there's not, you know, several wire-to-wire speed types in there.
Exactly. I mean, we've commented on that since the draw on Tuesday. It's kind of strange. All right, we jumped over the FIPS. That gets us to the Just a Game, and nice field of 12 here, too, and a lot of familiar – there's quite a few familiar faces and a lot of overlap in terms of company lines. What are you thinking here?
Well, I mean – I will say that I like Pocket Square's win at Keeneland on April 7th. That's a filly that, you know, I'm going to use as like an A play in there. I'm going to look at that, the Althica as Appleby as an A play as well in here. But I'm going to give you you a long shot that I'm going to make a little bit of a case for. It is number 3, Daddy is a Legend. You know, this filly at 3 finished her season with a half-length second to Uni and the Matriarch. She came back, ran third to Beau Recall in the Distaff Turf Mile, and then she got beat 2 1/4 lengths by Rushing Fall in the 2019 Just a Game. She never ran again in 2019, Daddy is a Legend did. I'm, like, looking at she did run again, but she came back at the she did run again. She finished the year that year with the Matriarch. But needless to say, I'm looking at those two starts last year, Steve. I'm just drawing a line with through them. There was something that wasn't right with Daddy is a Legend during her 5-year-old season. You know, they tried to get her back. They ran her twice. They immediately wrapped up on her, gave her a bunch more time off. I thought she really came back with a sharp win on April 22nd at Keeneland. Temple City Terror was third that day, came right back to win a stake race at Churchill Downs. And the thing about her is that, you know, now that she's got that tightener under her belt, I really expect her to move forward off that race for George Weaver. I don't know if she'll be good enough to win, but that's the kind of filly that I'm going to be looking to play a trifecta key box with at long odds, and I think Daddy is a Legend is a candidate to run well at big odds.
Nice. Always happy for George Weaver to run well.
You know, yeah, and she's run well over the Belmont turf. You know, both, you know, she's had, you know, a couple of good efforts there in stakes races. Very interesting. You know, I'm taking a look at in there at both Dofel and
Always
Shopping. Baron, come on. That's my dog. Sorry about that. But yeah, Zofel, I'm taking a look in there at Zofel as well. I thought she ran a pretty good race last time at Pimlico, at Churchill Downs, and that just after a mile, and that's the other one I want to use. Sorry about that.
The late pick four, pick five actually, starts with the Met, and just the six back, but how far beyond?
I'm just singling Nick's go in there, Steve. Right. I mean, really, no pace challenge. Runs back to any of those races before the Saudi Cup, and he's going to win. I think pretty comfortably in the Manhattan. That's really my probably my best play of the day. I really loved how Domestic Spending got up to dead heat. I thought he had dope business considering just the trip he had that day. Was really impressed by that. You know, I look at that race, and I think Colonel Liam and Smooth Like Straight both ran just their eyeballs out. But Domestic Spending was coming back in his first race since November. You know, he ran really well at Belmont Park last June. You know, where he won at Belmont Park last June, but obviously he's run really big in New York. And I just think he's going to have more to offer. I think you're going to get a little bit of a fair price with him in there. I will mention, you know, that, you know, I think his horse to the outside, Masterpiece, is a little bit interesting. That's a horse I'll look to use in some vertical exotics. But I'm going to bet Domestic Spending to win, and I'll have him singled up on some multi-race tickets.
Yeah, for the big multi options, it feels like Domestic Spending, Colonel Liam could get you through.
Yeah, and obviously Gufo too is a horse you know, he's won off slow paces before. I love types like that. It really doesn't matter if they go fast or slow up front. And, you know, he's getting a 6-pound weight break from last time. Obviously, you know, that wasn't the toughest field, but I think that's a horse that still has the upside this season for Clement. I love Domestic Spending. I think he's going to run better in this race. I mean, he's just 5-for-6. I think he's going to, you know, but I do think that this race is just the absolute top, like, turf, like, long-distance horses, dynamite field.
Turning to the feature, James, and a long and winding road when it comes to your Kentucky Derby reports and weekly check-ins, and we got through the Derby. Things hardly are decided, but we got through Baltimore, and we've got an honest enough assembly of. You know, at least 4 or 5 principles, and it seems like everybody is kind of focused in on the fairly obvious. What was your final analysis here?
You know, I mean, and my final analysis is it's just based on the numbers, and, you know, I used the Brisbane numbers, but I looked at some other numbers, and I don't think there's any doubt, you know. Essential Quality, I don't think, has a huge edge on the competition. I think these horses are pretty evenly met. You know, Rock Your World, Santa Anita Derby, you know, Ron Bowers, Preakness, Hot Rod Charlie, you know, Derby, and, you know, maybe a couple other efforts, and even Known Agenda's Florida Derby, they're all pretty close. You know, there's not a lot of separation in them. And a lot of times when I see that kind of situation, I'm like, you know, thinking perhaps chaos theory. I got to tell you, I took a long look at it, both Overtook and France Go to Ina. I think they're more perhaps vertical exotic players. I landed on Rock Your World, wire to wire. I think it's a race where, you know, perhaps his future is on turf, and, you know, the concerns about his high leg action and things like that, you know, will prove, you know, spot on. But I still think he has a pace advantage over these horses. And I do look at that Santa Anita Derby, and there's a reason why, you know, he took a lot of action, I think, going into the Derby. And I just don't see any real speed in there. I think on the pace numbers, he's much quicker from the starting gate than, like, Hot Rod Charlie or anybody in the race. And I just look for him to settle into a good trip, and especially if he gets clear, I like him. My second pick, the other horse I'll use in a key position in a multi-race kind of structure, is Ron Bauer. I really do think that if he can stay, like, within a, you know, like, in, you know, in the Preakness, he's always closer than 5 lengths off the pace. He's, like, sitting, like, 4 lengths back. And I think, you know, in the past with Ron Bauer, he was the type that would be, like, 7 or 8 lengths back. And he's just showed real improved tactical speed in both the Bluegrass and the Preakness. And as a result, that he's become a much better horse. And I know there's, like, a little regression factor fear, or per se, with Ron Bauer, but I'm just going to ignore that and look for him to run a big race and just off the pace with John Velasquez. So I got to rock your world, Ron Bauer.
7-3 for Scully in the feature. Excellent. Well, James, I appreciate it, and good luck. I do some recapping next week and take a long, deep breath after this winter and spring long odyssey. Good luck.
Oh, well, thank you, Steve. Enjoy the next 2 days. Should be some great racing.
James underscore Scully 111 on your Twitter and, of course, at the Twin Spires blog roll. I'm going to have to go back through these. There are spots, and you know, as we survey everybody, Hammer's going to join us next. I'm very curious to see how many mentions. And by the way, speaking of mentions, the Big Four is available, and about 100 of you already have entered. You got till 5:15 today. So the form to win Big Four, $1,000 in prizes, and it mirrors the two-day $2 Pick Four. And one of the fun things you can do is click on entry results, and it more or less is a crowdsourcing tool, and it shows you both in a sort of a graphical manner who's picked who, and it is interesting. It's one nice, and I didn't even ask our web people, Gatman down in South Florida. I didn't even ask him that. He just when he was building, you know, the way to track the results, he put it in and said, "I can do this if you'd like it." And I immediately, you know, back Derby weekend, I immediately said, "Yeah, absolutely. It's crowdsource information." So take a look at that while you're entering the Big Four. Ed DeRosa joining us, and we'll get Ed's Belmont Stakes weekend. And Ed, I was thinking earlier in the week, what was the year? It was a Triple Crown year. You came, and you guys were accruing punching tickets for souvenirs for Twin Spires users. When was that? Ed? Ed, is Ed not hearing me?
Hey, Steve, it's Hammer. You got me.
Oh. Okay. I thought Ed was. Oh, okay. I see what Deja did. Very good. All right. All right. Well, you've certainly come and picked up, I'm sure, a couple of, over the years, a couple of, you know, Triple Crown $2 win tickets for Triple Crown prospects.
Oh, absolutely. It was funny, funny you mentioned that, because, you know, we've been to, geez, I don't know, 20 of the last 25 Belmonts at least. And, of course, whenever a Triple Crown was coming up, you go to the window, and that's like the first thing you do for the day is go and give me 10 $2 win tickets on, you know, whoever it may be. But we've gone even worse than that. I mean, we have gone into program land. We would go get programs. I remember that. I think it might have been Smarty Jones' year. We went in, I think we bought 100 programs. And we were loading them in our car out in the parking lot. Everyone was coming in. We were going out with programs, throwing them in the trunk, figuring, oh, man, this is going to be a bonanza. And, you know, open up the trunk 2 days later and go, what are we going to do with these things? But, hey, you know, you get pumped up, you know. You want something from the moment.
Well, you know, as it happens, it's funny. It's funny you bring up Smarty because, and I will ask you about some of those kinds of memories. It just so happened, I was curious. I was looking at some Belmont results. I was, trainer, recent trainer winners and that kind of thing, and participation. And at all of these Triple Crowns, I always, I always note the date, and I'm always curious who, who won on the various dates. And as it happens, tomorrow, June 5th, was Birdstone's upset of Smarty Jones. And the thing that amazed me, and I don't know why I would be stunned by this, Rick. It's 2004.
Yeah.
It's 17 years ago. It just doesn't. I was like, "Oh my God!" To me, it doesn't. I mean, 17 years. It doesn't seem possible.
It's incredible when you start thinking about stuff, and somebody goes, "Remember when?" If I think eight, I double it. It's amazing how fast things go. But that's one of those days that gets frozen in your head. And that's probably why it doesn't think like it was that long ago, because it's so vivid in your memory of, that stretch run and just the whole day. I got to think I just got to think that's why. You bring up another one, and, maybe it's not so vivid in the memory. But, God, when you put the number down, I knew it had a 4 in it. I was thinking 94. I go, no, that can't be that. But 2004, 17 years ago, pretty wild. And, we've seen a lot of good ones since then, I'll tell you that. You know, during that run there, when there was a lot of Triple Crowns on the line. I don't know. The Belmont has actually turned in to be my favorite Triple Crown event. And it turned into be more of an event because I like going to New York City and doing all that stuff. And as I say that, sitting here at home at the kitchen table, just couldn't put it together this year. Had to take care. We got a few things going on here with an elderly pet and a couple of scheduling conflicts, and Jimmy had some work stuff. So wish I was sitting there next to you. There's just something about the Belmont, and I hope they get a nice big crowd, and I hope it's just crazy. There's nothing like seeing that grandstand that's full speed on a nice sunny day. So I'm really missing it. And the card is it's endless. It just keeps going, race after race after race. So it's like, woo, a couple days of it. It's, kind of like the Derby card and the Breeders' Cup cards. But that's what they wanted to do, and Martin's done a good job of moving around. I thought about something yesterday that, the card is so filled with grade ones, it probably could sneak the Met back to Memorial Day and nobody would even notice, wouldn't take away from the card at all, but it's pretty. It sounds like the weather's going to be good. From what I'm hearing,
it's going to be gorgeous. Yeah, tomorrow's fine. Tomorrow's going to be delightful. It's even gotten to the point of warm for tomorrow. And as long as we kind of dodge any heavy deluge in the mid-afternoon period, if there's a little, there's a little bit of misty rain. I mean, yesterday was remarkable. I mean, we could have been hit at least three times by major cells, and each one missed us, and so that was fortunate. I mean, right now I'm looking down. I can't really see. I'm at ground level on the track apron, but right now the main track looks, I would say, close to fast. I mean, it might be good, but it's not muddy. I'll tell you that. I mean, right now they back raked it too early this morning. They sent out the text alert and advising trainers of what was going to happen this morning. So right now the track looks very good. Okay. We'll see how they deal from here after training ends.
Great news, good news that Irad's up and around and missed a few weeks, it sounds like, but always happy to hear that. And we'll get the replacements. I mean, it's amazing when you start looking at some of the horses that he was scheduled to ride.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, you might want to just fly somebody in, you know, for the afternoon and say, hey, you want to be IRAD for a couple days? You know, just have one guy take over all the mounts. I was thinking about that. I mean, obviously that's not going to happen, but not too bad. Before we get going, I wanted to mention a couple local notes here. Trevor Denman will be back on the scene at Del Mar calling the races after taking, was it a couple years off? Larry
yes.
came in. Larry Colmus, of course, did a great job and was in the wings. But Trevor's decided to come off his farm in Minnesota that he loves to go to and just kind of hanging out. And he'll be back in for the summer meet and will also come back and do the Breeders' Cup meet here at Del Mar in November. So I'm happy to have Trevor back on the scene. And you know, like I said, Larry did a great job. Trevor McCarthy is here. As we know, I think he had a winner, and he's on.
He did.
Got picked up quite a few mounts this weekend, so he's a welcome addition to the scene, the jockey colony here, and getting his feet wet a little bit before the Del Mar meet. I think the Del Mar meet was what they were pointing to, so happy to have him out here. Wanted to mention a couple things about, Sam Bolmides. Of course, he passed earlier in the week, and you had Tony Black, who is they're related.
Tony, nephew.
Nephew, okay. But Sam Bolmides, I didn't know him as a jockey, but he was, when I came back to New Jersey in 1989, he was the first steward that I worked with that was a jockey. So, you know, I was a little wet behind the ears when I came out. And it's funny, when I did come out, I was, you know, this hotshot kid from California who supposedly knew everything. I didn't know anything, but I had to pretend that I did. And I was along the way learning everything that I could. And Sam was the first, like, steward that was a rider. And it was really interesting to me. As he would talk to, riders, and I would listen in on a few things, and up in the afternoon in the stand when I was in the placing stand and the stewards were next door, and I would hear him explain things. Very cool. I really liked them. I really got along with them. If you look up the word terse in the dictionary, I think it says something like direct and to the point. And boy, that was him. He could get fired up about things, but he really took charge, and he was really, really wanted to do the right thing. He didn't hold grudges against anybody, and just a good guy. He held court up there in the steward stand and at Monmouth Park in the Meadowlands for the 10-12 years that I was back there, and just a good old fashioned guy. You could rile him up a little bit just to get him fired up, and then he'd put that little smile and kind of look over the top of his glasses at you like, oh, what are you doing to me? But just wanted to add that in. Just someone that I
nice.
didn't keep in touch with, obviously, but when I heard about it, I had some fond memories of Sam running around. He was one of those guys that during scratches, the stewards would rotate. And if it was a rainy day, and the trainers would call in and say, who's on duty today? Is it Sam? Oh, no. Because Sam would give him a hard time. Hey, you entered to run. You put him in. You're not running. You're not getting out. It was back in the days when you held people in for we wanted to race. Just because it was raining a little bit wasn't an excuse to get out. And I always remember that. So good man, Sam Bolmides.
Very nice. I appreciate that. It should have occurred to me that you cross paths.
Yeah, just the one's amazing when you cruise around how many people you meet, and some don't make the board, so to speak, but Sam did, and I just wanted to say something about that. Later on next week, we'll get into. I heard your little story about you mentioned the last train from Bay Meadows deal with a documentary about Bay Meadows going away, and I want to get too far into it because you could go forever. I tried to find that. I'd never heard of that. I searched YouTube last night, and there's another three-part little piece called The Last Dance that had to do with the closing of Bay Meadows. And I watched that, and man, how touching that was, because that's where I started, was up at Golden Gate Fields. I never worked at Bay Meadows, but had a lot of times over there. I mean, I had more fun over there because when I was over there, I really wasn't working. So a lot of people went by there, and I got to find this last train from Bay Meadows somewhere to watch. But we'll talk about things like that. I don't want to get too worked up. I'm going to tell one Bay Meadows story that I remember best of all. I was there. We were just getting ready to start the Golden Gate meet, so we were finishing up and had to go over to Bay Meadows to pull papers or do something. And you know, I was just a guy in the office, kind of in the way, trying to stay out of the way as watching things go by. It might have been my first year there in 86, 87. And in walks Bobby Frankel. And he's, and of course, as a fan, you knew him by sight, but I'd never met him before. And, you know, I'd seen him in the paddock and all that stuff. And he walks in, and I'm thinking, oh, man, this is kind of cool. And he comes in, and he was shooting his mouth up. Hey, man, this is Jay. Yeah, man, I'm going to kick ass today. My horse is going to bum, bum, bum. And I'm going, man, I get the program out, and I look, and he's sitting up sitting on a table, I remember, for some reason. And he was looking for somebody to go pick Pat Day up at the airport. And he's, we got to get Pat in here. We're going to crush this field, blah, blah, blah. And I got the program out, and I'm looking at Pat Day coming in to ride Ruhlman. It's called Ruhlman, R-H-U-L-M-A-N. And I ended up winning the San Diego Handicap, I think, at some
sure.
point.
Of course.
But he was coming in to ride in the El Camino Derby. And so I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, what do I do? So I go in the back room, and I pick up the phone, and I dial my buddy, and I said, what are you doing today? He goes, I said, you need to come to Bay Meadows, and you need to bet this horse called Ruhlman. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, just write this name down, Ruhlman, Ruhlman. So anyway, long story short, the horse crushes. And I think he wins. I think he paid $11, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm going, and then I remember thinking to myself, this is going to be great. I am going to love this game. And, of course, it didn't happen too many times after that. But I'll never forget that, sitting there in the Bay Meadows racing office. You know, typical Bobby Frankel. And, of course, we became friends through the years. And, you know, it wasn't the last time that he was touting one of his horses, right. Floyd. But he was so pumped up. I was actually hoping that I could, you know, volunteer to go pick up Pat Day.
All right. Yeah, there's some other things that we came up during the week, too, Rick. But we'll save it for.
But let's talk about that later.
We've got a couple of quiet weeks yet to come.
I just had that written down. Anybody
we wrap up this weekend. So let's turn our attention to the action. And, you know, take us anywhere you want to go.
I got to see that last train from Bay Meadows.
More Saturday than today. If you could. I think you can.
Well, I'll tell you. I'll start with
I know there was a DVD. And
been, you know, looking around up and down everywhere. And you know what?
I've got the producer director's number. I want to bring.
Again, Ron Bauer.
5 years ago, I made the idea to bring him
and
to unspool it at on a dark day at the museum.
I'm going to deep closer. That. It doesn't have to
got
be.
A little bit of time
and, you know, I'm
after
always
we get
afraid
done,
of those kind
this
Belmont,
weekend.
Of course,
you know, that,
mile and a half,
that is a great idea.
Start last to see if we can end up first. Doesn't happen that way. He can lay close enough.
I think it was early 2000.
And, you know, why can't he repeat? What the idea?
The
we actually got together and said,
so,
you know what?
I like.
Why don't we get together?
I'm right now.
Find all
the like
clips we can from
I like
racing television.
Why not? Why not?
You'll get 50 of them together.
I disagree.
The same thing. And
put
them
wise,
play them in between
I
races
like him over,
during
over,
the day
for
some
the
entertainment.
Two
and
essential quality.
Actually, which is the point of
agenda
races
and
going to
get 2 minute
Jimmy said any of
these
somebody says
the world.
I'm a little
concerned
with
so many of them in there.
Yeah, you